Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So last week, the champ was Kevin McGonigal, and the chump was Josh Naylor. Couldn't remember Naylor, but Naylor, after the weekend he had, where he was out trying to hurt homies all over the place, he was named Chump of the Weekend in a runaway. So today we'll do it all over again, as we'll crown a new champ and a new chump. So get your votes in at 248-539-9797. I am Doug Carson. That is Mike Stone.
Hey, what's happening?
You doing good today?
I'm doing pretty good. Interesting, you know, good weekend, you know. Yeah. Played some crappy golf the other day, but, you know.
Are you talking about the round you had with Gator and I, or since then?
Actually, since then, it was worse. Like, when I played with you guys, I was consistent.
You hit the ball pretty well.
48-48.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday, or no, it was Friday, I did 52-52.
So okay.
Stay consistent. Consistently bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's a frustrating sport.
Yes.
Sometimes I wonder what the hell I'm doing.
It's a beautiful day, so who cares?
Yeah, theory, it's supposed to be. Not to let the golf ruin the good time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What I don't understand, we talked about it a little bit while we played. Mm-hmm. A lot of people imbibe while they play golf.
Yeah.
I don't know how I could even, you know, begin to, if I got buzzed, even hit the ball. I mean, I'm so bad to begin with sober. And I like at the turn, I'll usually have a beer and sometimes subconsciously to slow my swing down.
All right. I mean,
you'd have a few drinks, but I think that's it.
I think some people relax more.
I guess.
They have a drink or two. I mean, yes. We're not talking about getting smashed. I
no.
told you that when it starts to go south, I just go sit in the cart and sad drink.
Yeah.
And that's sort of my thing is, you know, like, okay, this round has gone to hell. How about those beers that we got sitting over there in the cooler?
Yeah.
It changed my focus.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, yeah, it was a good time playing with you. You're fun to play with. And,
yeah.
And Gator is out playing today, which is why he isn't in today.
It's a very sentimental day for Gator too. Cause one of his favorite days of the year is playing in the Rocket Classic media event.
Yep, and I feel like most of our station is there today. Like, the office is completely empty.
Yeah.
And so everybody's taking advantage, except you, me, Kang, and Bobby here in the middays.
But okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, look, it's Gator he wants this day off every year, and I'm like, sure.
But this, I'm not saying this could be unless something crazy happens, this is the last one for him.
Looks like it.
Yeah.
Looks like it.
But I guess he'll be working this time next year, Doug.
Yeah I guess. Yeah.
Put that in my schedule. I'll have to work for this shift.
You're free next year, Stoney. Don't worry.
I always take I have some annual days off that I take each and every year, and including whatever Michigan's bye week is, I'll take the Friday so I can have a long weekend in the fall.
They have two this year, don't they?
Yeah. And usually they have one the beginning of October, late September, beginning of October. So I like going up north and
right.
colors and all that. But I've also used it to go visit kids who are away at school.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Gator knows bye week, Friday before. I'm probably not going to be there. And then there's other, the part of our routine, he'll have Black Friday off because it's usually the day before Michigan, Ohio State.
All right.
And so if one of us has to be here, it makes more sense that it's the guy who does Michigan football, not the other guy. But
yeah,
it's a little tradition.
Lions bye week. Used to always try to take off. Now I'm not so sure because some other people have the same idea, so I might have to work. But I believe this year, it's our 30th wedding anniversary. It's October 12th.
You might want to take it off.
So
then.
I might want to figure out something to do.
That's a good. That's a very good idea. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anything else exciting this weekend?
Let's see. Friday night after golf, went out to dinner to Kego Harbor. Ran into the mayor of Kego, Woody Woodruff.
Nice.
He's all over Kego. And Saturday, what did we do? Oh, yeah, we played, went someplace with another couple. We played pickleball and then had dinner afterwards.
Okay, how'd you do with the pickleball?
I was bad. I haven't played in a while.
Okay.
My wife plays five or six times a week, so she's better than me, which...
Do you play together or against each other?
Well, we switched off. Yeah, we played the first three games because we decided we were going to play, you know, best of three. Mm-hmm. We had the court for an hour or whatever. So I played with her one game, one set or whatever, one match. And we just switched around.
It's something I don't see myself transitioning to just yet. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still playing hockey. The problem with hockey is the league is getting younger.
Yeah.
The league is getting significantly younger, and I'm not.
Do they have leagues that are like, I don't know, 55 and over?
Yes, they do.
Okay, so it's not 55 and under.
No, there's like a 50 and over league. There's a 60 and over league, but I don't want to cave for any of that stuff yet.
They don't just call it seniors at some point, Doug?
Nope. I'm still skating with the kids.
Yeah.
Is
Birchie still in your squad?
No, he's not. Oh, okay. And he was one of our better players. And we had Birchie, and we had my oldest son play with us for a while. In fact, he still subs when he's in town. And we had a playoff game last year. And my last shift in the playoff game, I scored a goal, which gave us a 2-0 lead. And I was sitting on the bench. There was about a minute left, and my shift was up. And I said to the guy next to me, "You go ahead." Because I thought, I never know when it's going to be my last game. And my son was on the ice with me, and I scored this goal. And I'm like, this might be my last shift ever.
Did you score the goal? Did he give you the assist?
He did not.
It was not marked out of Gordie Howe?
No, I should have picked the puck up out of the net, though, and skated off with it. Because I never know. And it was a playoff game, and what I found out later is the Zamboni broke, and the compressor on the Zamboni broke, and the rest of our league got suspended. So it very well might be my last game. We'll see. I probably will play again, but you never know. All right, so Monday's Mean Champ and Chump. Stoney and I will have ours today at 10:35. Got to talk about the Tigers and obviously a frustrating couple of games. And then yesterday's salvage effort got rained out, which was weird. I want to know how many people drove down there and were surprised the game got rained out. Wasn't it? Did I see it was like sun out and shining and it was predicted rain? Or
yeah, they said that. I have no idea. All I know is I read once the game got postponed that they saw a line of storms that were not going away, that was headed that way, and yada yada.
Mm-hmm. So. Those are tough calls to make, and I don't think they want to cancel a Sunday afternoon.
No,
game,
actually, I think it was good news for the Tigers, to be quite honest with you.
Just to get away.
Yeah.
Break it up.
Now you might want to say you want to see Mize pitch sooner, and it's kind of weird that he just doesn't pitch the next game. He's not pitching till Wednesday or something like that, but
right,
you know, Gavin Williams is always tough on the Tigers, I believe. So the way they were hitting, they probably would have lost anyway.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Matt. You're on 97.1. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning. So Champ, I'm going to give to Carolina. Congrats on their Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Chump, because I travel for my job, this is somewhat irritating. I'm going to say the New York Knicks fans, because I was in New York, and they were destroying the city, setting buses on fire. And then the same people were complaining that the city is, there's trash everywhere. And look, the stuff's on fire. Like, you guys did it. So what are you complaining about? It's so stupid to destroy your own city when you win the championship.
Was it completely destroyed, or was it just, like, one area? I mean, like, because when it happens here...
It's like one area.
Okay. And then not that it makes it right. Because I agree. I don't understand the mentality. And it even happens. Remember in Vancouver when they lost to Boston, and then they lost to the Rangers in the finals. They went crazy and did a lot of damage there. If you win a championship, you're so excited. Oh boy, we finally won. It's been 53 years. Let's burn the bus down. I mean, what goes through people's minds?
I don't know. So you've never damaged anything in a celebration?
Not purposely.
Kang, have you ever damaged anything in a celebration? Other than like your liver?
Yeah, I'm trying. I mean, I definitely haven't set anything on fire. That's for sure. You know?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I haven't.
And it wasn't public property. If anything, maybe something of my own, but nothing that comes to mind. So, I mean,
we must be missing out.
Yeah.
What are we missing out on? That it's so much fun to damage stuff.
Yeah, like your community, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Another reason not to like the Knicks fans.
Yeah. I mean, it happens everywhere. It famously happened here.
Yes.
And I don't.
It happened here. If you look, it happened in 84 that got the most publicity. But I remember one of the Pistons years, Ann Thompson, our reporter I worked with at Channel 4, she was in a WDIV car and it got damaged. I mean, people are idiots everywhere.
Yeah. Yep. 248-539-9797. Get your champ and chump votes in. We'll have ours today at 10:35. We'll talk more Tigers coming up today at 10:16. As we work our way through a Monday, Mike Stone in for Gator here on 97.1. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson out today. Mike Stone is in. We got open lines to start this show on this Monday. Let's go to Mary Ann, who is next on 97.1. Hello, Mary Ann.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
Good morning. Good morning. I was listening to Jim and John, and they were talking about all the guys that we have on the Tigers who are hitting below 200. And I had an idea, and I just wanted to float it by, and I'll hang up and listen to what you thought. But you know, AJ's been doing this pitching chaos for the last few years, and it's gotten us into the playoffs. What about if he does lineup chaos? Bring all of these guys that are on the fringe in AAA, bring them up, see what they do. At the least, they get bounced back because they can't handle it. Or at the best, we win a few games. We scratch out a few wins, and, you know, these guys on the mound who've never seen these guys from AAA might be a little bit shocked. I don't know. I'm grasping at straws here, but I just thought, what the heck?
So many roster spots, right? You can't have 40 guys on your roster. So you have an active roster of major league players that so you can't just like bulk up on your roster size. Because then you got to send somebody for everybody that gets called up. You got to send somebody down.
Would that be the worst thing if we sent people down?
Well, no, not necessarily. The problem is, and there are some veterans you could call up, and you know the Jemai Jones story is what's got everybody worked up, and
rightfully so. I mean, the guy's got one; he's one for his last 30.
I think AJ pretty much implied that Jemai had the Cleveland series and the Houston series. And, you know, he didn't come through in the Cleveland series. And his quote after the Cleveland series was long, talking about all the reasons why Jemai Jones is here. But he did put this right in the middle of the quote, which I think is a polite and public way of saying that the player has to start producing. You know, he gives all the reasons why he's here. And then he says, we need Jemai to do his part for it to truly function in the way the strategy is designed and how the roster is built. We continue to give him opportunity because we believe in him, but clearly we need production in order to continue that and walk into those exact situations that we know are coming because we've seen him deliver before on the biggest stage and that we've played. I don't know how long that lasts. I think that AJ has implied strongly that he had the Cleveland series and the Houston series, and he mentioned because of left-handed pitching that they would see that Jemai was going to be a part of the game plan against Cleveland and Houston. If he doesn't produce in Houston, I think he's gone by Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. He should be. And there's other things that are, it's not as serious, but I don't understand how Matt Verling bats third and Dingler bats fourth. And you may say, well, it's a big deal. Dingler's more of a power. You know, that's old school, okay? Batting the power guy cleanup. Usually you bat the guy, the best guy earlier, so he's got more chances to get hits. And how the hell does Matt Verling bat third in anyone's lineup?
Did anybody ask him in the post game?
I don't know.
Because every time the lineup is brought up, he has a reason for it. Mm-hmm. And his reasons will very rarely we go, well, that makes no sense at all. So I don't know what his reasoning was. I didn't see that he got asked about it.
It makes no sense just even without hearing his reasoning because he's got Veerling batting third, Dingler fourth. So they're both right-handed bats. So you can't say it's part of the right-left thing either. Green coming up next is lefty. I don't.
What
were
the
know.
History against the pitcher? Do you know?
Oh, that I know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. I'm.
I know.
You're
I know,
asking
you're,
why. I don't know why.
I get that.
Look, I mean, at the end of the day, all that matters is that they win the games. They lost these two. I'm not that mad about it. And the reason I'm not that mad about it is because realistically, I didn't think they were going to keep winning at the level they were winning at.
No.
There's a lot of season still left to be played. And if they don't pick up any ground here or start to lose ground, at least it defines them before the trade deadline. So,
yes,
yeah, so I mean, it's the most boring thing said in sports radio, but I believe it's true and that you have to let it play out.
Well, to a certain extent, yes, because you have to figure out if you have, you know, a really good, you know, general manager, which a lot of people don't think we have, but when you're going to trade some of these guys. And so, yeah, if you are in the trade Skubal camp like I am, because I don't think realistically they can win the World Series, then Saturday was pretty good. I mean, he came out of it healthy. He didn't pitch great, but he won horrible
well, it's probably
pitch.
The most important thing that happened this yes. weekend was yes. that Skubal had what appears to be an injury-free outing.
Right, and that's why him being, you know, rained out or whatever yesterday, you don't get to see Mize pitch this weekend either. So he'll pitch later this week. Because, look, if you're going to trade Skubal, you're also going to trade Mize. You're also going to trade Torres. Because if you don't, that's completely organizational malfeasance.
Well, Gator thinks you could trade Skubal and still try to compete.
But how? I mean, look, if they go on, if they have a good enough record, yeah, but I don't think that's the point.
Yeah, I mean, I am a... There's a long way between now and then, but my default right. positioning on this is I tend to agree with you. They're not good enough to win the World Series. If they hang around and are within striking distance, okay, mm-hmm. then I think they need to buy because this is their last kick at the can with Skubal, most likely. So buy and aggressively try to buy. And if you are unsuccessful, then sell because you're, you know, I think you've got to go one extreme or the other and start by selling Skubal. If you can't buy and improve your team's chances to make a run at the World Series this year by adding a significant player to your everyday lineup, maybe a guy that can hit both righties and lefties.
That would be interesting. That would mess with AJ. He won't be able
I think
to
AJ would,
much.
I actually think I AJ would prefer it.
I'm
I think,
he,
I mean, if we look at the lineup, there's a bunch of players here that I don't think we look at and say, this is a playoff. The last 3 years, I haven't looked at the lineup and said playoff lineup, but they've managed to get there and they've had really good starting pitching for the mm-hmm. most part. But the bottom line here is if you can't add, then pull the plug.
Yes.
And so, but again, there's a long time between now and the deadline. So,
right.
so having any declarative statement at this point is foolish, but that's sort of where I stand at this moment.
Look, they're fortunate. In some aspects, if you want to play the schedule game, still ahead. They have these games with the Yankees, who won't have Judge. Chicago, who is in first place in the division, you know, what their big home run hitter, he's out for a while. I mean, who knows what Cleveland's going to do now that Ramirez is
sure.
out for a long time.
And you got Houston's one of the teams in front of them that they're trying to reel in.
Well,
so
well Houston's starting to play good again. I mean, they started off really bad and is... To quote the great Jim Leland, it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And mm-hmm. it doesn't appear that this is a good time to be playing Houston. And their stud pitcher's coming back to go up against Valdez tomorrow. That would be Hunter Brown from Wayne State.
Let's go to David in Brighton. You're next. Hello, David.
How's it going?
What's up?
How's it going?
Good.
Well, I know it's not going. It's Champ and Chump.
Yeah.
I'm a champ all day. I believe USA went 4-1.
Yeah.
And I've got Chump Brazil. When tie 1-1 to Morocco. So, champ, like I said, USA or even Brunson with 45 points.
Well, I mean, we're gonna vote. Who do you want? You want Brunson or you want USA soccer?
USA. It's only every 4 years. I'm going USA for sure.
Okay. So, I believe the difference between Brazil and Morocco in the world rankings was Brazil was 6 and Morocco was 7. I mean, it's not, it doesn't sound like Morocco should be a. You know, a huge team, like a tough out, but
not,
I guess they're pretty
like,
good. Yeah.
It's not like they, after 20 minutes of the Germany Curacao match, it was
dude,
1-1.
When that was 1-1, I was like, whoa.
I know. Well, how about the Ivory Coast?
Yeah.
Beating Ecuador. That was a
goal late.
Yes.
Isn't that in your hometown?
Yes, it was.
Yep. Dude, I've watched way more than this than I anticipated. I just go from game to game to game. I love it.
I like the way it's spaced out because they don't overlap.
Yep. and it's going on for 5 weeks. And look, we'll talk about it as much as the audience wants to. You're not calling a bunch of soccer experts, I'll tell you that, when you call this show. But
okay, so can I ask a question, though?
Sure.
That I don't understand. Because, look, I was a keeper in junior high school, so I've been playing soccer. I played soccer for a long time, summer camp, things like that. And I enjoy soccer. I do, especially at this level. I was always under the impression that when a ref gave a yellow card, it had to be for something pretty bad, not as bad as something for a red card where you got thrown out of the game, but real hard physical contact, not just an ordinary foul. One of the games I was watching, and I forget which one, I think it might have been the Brazil game. I don't even remember, but the referee was just giving yellow cards all over the place for like incidental contact. I think that's awful because what? If you get two yellow cards, you're suspended?
Out. Yeah, and you're suspended the rest of that game. You're kicked out of the game. You get a red card, and you have to sit out the next game.
Right.
And when you're only playing three games, you basically can miss half the World Cup.
I mean, like,
you were
like,
probably watching Mexico and South Africa where there were three sent off, three red cards.
No, it wasn't that one. It was yesterday. It was
yesterday's games. It's funny because I do think the yellows have been handed out rather liberally by the officials. But soccer has done something, okay, that I did not know they did because I parachute in every 4 years and watch a World Cup. They've done something that I did not know that they have done, and I think everybody can get on board with it. If you are not a soccer fan, what I'm about to tell you and you haven't watched and you don't care is something that I think soccer got right. And I think you will enjoy it. We'll get to that today at 10:31, and we'll have our Champ and Chump nominations at 10:35 on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, for people watching the USA soccer game on Friday, you perhaps saw this, but Tim Ream from our team got a yellow card for a trip. They looked at it, reversed it, said it wasn't a trip, it was an embellishment, and gave the embellisher the yellow card.
Okay.
So if you dive,
that's a yellow card. Okay.
They inverted it and gave it to the diver.
Wow.
Tell me the NBA doesn't need this. If you flop, and something gets challenged, how about you get the foul?
That'd be cool.
I mean, did soccer get this right or what?
I think they did get that right.
Ken, can you get on board with this?
Yeah, I hate flopping.
Yeah.
The issue, though, with Silver, though, is he says it because he's defending his refs, and I get that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Call them the best in the world. They do a tremendous job, all this stuff. He calls it embellishment and not flopping. So I think maybe there's a difference between what the fans feel is pure flopping and what he calls is just over-embellishing a foul call. But, yes, I'm on board with anything anti-flopping, anti-over-embellishment. They need to get a handle on this. And I honestly think they did during the finals because if you watch the NBA Finals at all, it was a rough series.
Oh,
and
I know.
When they let him play like this,
I loved it.
We all enjoy it.
Yes.
No one, everyone likes this. So keep with this.
Yeah. I mean, so let's – the NBA has a problem, and I think we could all agree with that. You know, the SGA approach is there's so much backlash. And look, I don't mind people publicly supporting the people that work for them. I think AJ Hinch is doing it with Jamai, even though the clock appears to be ticking. I think Adam Silver, you do it with your refs. But you have to acknowledge that nobody likes flopping.
Nobody. I mean, it's in hockey, it was one of the first sports that do the embellishment
thing. Yep. 248-539-9797. Paul is next on 97.1. Hello, Paul.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Okay.
I mean, away from my phone. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm saying champ of the week, Jalen Chatfield, Ipsy's own, on the ice for the last 4 minutes of the Stanley Cup, won a Stanley Cup last night.
Yep.
22 minutes. He's in the mix. He's the real deal. And then my chump has to do, and I'm not, it's about set and setting. I think it's Dana White putting on that UFC, making the White House lawn look like a circus. It's just not my style.
Thank you for the phone call, 248-539-9797. Stanley Cup is where I'm going to go. Gator. Mike, you ready for your champ and chump?
Sure.
My champ of the weekend is Rob Brind'Amour.
Ah, yep. Yes.
Congratulations. Getting to lift the cup overhead. Finally getting there.
I mean, and do it as a player with the same team as a coach. I believe he's only the third person to do that. Coach the team he played for Stanley Cup. That's pretty damn impressive.
Your champ is?
My champ is, it's pretty obvious, I think, if you watch Saturday's basketball game. It's Jalen Brunson. I mean, the guy is just unbelievable. I mean, you try to figure it. I'm sitting there saying, you know, why can't they double him? You know why they can't double him? Because he's got this escapability where he's able to get through these guys. He squeaks through and makes layups, makes clutch shots. He could be, with all apologies to Michael Jordan, he could be the clutchest basketball player I've ever seen.
Wow.
When money time, fourth quarter, that's when he shows up. And Saturday, he showed up from the get-go, and because they were playing awful in the first half, and you knew when they were only down five that they were going to win the game.
My chump of the weekend is the Spurs. They led every game. They led every game by double digits. They lost. They led for, what was the stat, 72% of the series they had the lead.
Yep.
And they lose in five.
Well, my chump is very close to yours. It's the leader of that crew. It's Mitch Johnson. And we always talk about experience in the playoffs. Is it overrated? Is it this? Is it that? You know what? Inexperience, yeah, it hurt them. You could see they're young, that type of thing. But you know what? Their coach was young, too. And his inexperience were in game four, where he didn't call timeout during the big run or two. He could have called another one. He just looked like he had no clue. And it wasn't until Saturday's game that he decided to, you know what? I should play Dylan Harper more. He's basically he was their best player for the most part in that series, better than Wemby was.
Yeah, look, I mean, in a lot of facets, I'm mad at Mitch Johnson. I'm mad at the Spurs. I'm mad at Wemby because they are the ones responsible for unleashing the monster that is Knicks fans.
Yeah, look, my closest friends from college, a lot of them are Knicks fans. So I was kind of happy for them after a while. But, yeah.
Yeah, you listed them all in your show prep sheet. You wanted to – does anybody want to shout out?
I don't know if they're listening. My AU boys, Wolfen and K-Bow and Sherms and Ginge. Yeah.
That's funny.
I know.
Get your champ and chum votes in, 248-539-9797. Let's go to Steve in Plymouth. You're next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
I got the champs and chump for the weekend. I'm going to start out with the champ. The obvious one for everybody, I think, is the USA Soccer, and you know, this every 4 years. It's only, you know, once every 4 years you get a chance to root for your country on this stage, and this is why they're my champ. But then, chump, I got. I don't think anyone's mentioned this yet. At least I haven't heard it. But the Michigan State Board of Trustees and Athletic Director Jay Matt.
I talked to Doug before the show, and we're going to ask that question. And are you a Michigan State supporter, alum, or whatever?
Absolutely. My son is a Spart.
Okay. Let me ask you a question then, because Jay Batt officially today, according to Pete Thamels, he's going to Kentucky. How does that affect you as a Spartan? And how hurtful is this to them right now? We have the president leave. You have the athletic director leave. I mean, Tom Izzo.
The biggest reason I think it affects me is some of the things that Jay Batt instituted in his tenure were just outrageous. Some of the things they did were good. The Spartan Ventures and everything were good. But if you're going to institute something like that, have the courage to stick it out and see it through.
Oh, yo, so you pissed at him for leaving. Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I blame the Board of Trustees and their fiasco and all their nonsense and everything. But, you know, why do we even have a board of trustees? That's another issue.
I know.
But,
I'm with you on that.
You know, for the, some of the, like, he instituted the parking, new parking policies for football games, and you can't park in certain areas unless you have tickets to the game. And he's taken away that atmosphere of college football, in my eyes. You know, it's just kind of, you know, where you can't, if you just want to go and tailgate and bring a TV and enjoy the day, and, you know, with your friends and families and stuff, you can't do that without buying season tickets now. Wow. And it's a shame. You know, it's just one of the policies that were enacted. And looking back at some of his recent stops, he put some of those things in place there too. Like Georgia Tech, he did some things where he removed some names on buildings of long-term families that were big-time supporters and things. The name of, you know, this is kind of, you know, Valeni soapboxes. We're pricing out the little man, you know, and this is even, it's reaching down to the youth sports and the college sports now, not alone the pro sports.
But I see that you should be very happy because the Spartans signed a 10-year jersey patch deal with Michigan State University Federal Credit Union. So for 10 years, they'll have the MSU Federal Credit Union patch on their jerseys.
You know, having been around Michigan athletics a lot during some controversial times, I've come to realize that there's a lot of different moving parts within a university and a lot of subtleties and nuance that the public isn't aware of. I thought about jumping the MSU Board of Trustees because it feels like, as an outsider, that they've run off a president and an athletic director. But again, I decided not to for that very reason.
Right.
Because I'm not around it. It's not a school that I cover. I obviously have a history there, but I do not know the details of what really has gone down. And I can read a lot of stuff, but I realize that there's a lot of stuff that doesn't get reported. And so I decided I wouldn't do it. And obviously others, I've seen some come in that have, but trying to be fair in that particular instance. It's a shame because it's a program and a university athletic department that if you fail at building a winner, that's one thing. It's when you get in your own way.
Which they've done. Look, with all due respect, I moved here in 1986. This is always the trustee situation. From Joe Ferguson on down, there's always something. And what's happened in the last month or whatever is just, it just seems to me like it's so typical. And Bat seemed like this guy knew what he'd do, and they're going to, you know, raise a lot of money, that type of thing. And now, you know, because the guy who hired him is gone, so he decided to leave too.
What do you think it means for Pat Fitzgerald? What do you think he thinks?
I think he's sitting there going, "What the hell did I get into?" Unless they could always, hire the right athletic director.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they can hire the right president, who's going to actually choose the athletic director, that's another question. I'd like to hear from Pat Fitzgerald. I want to hear from Tom what he has to say. I'm sure he'll be somewhat politically correct, but he's got to be pissed unless he didn't like J-Bat.
248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, get your Champ and Chump votes in. Who should be singled out for having a great weekend? Who should be called out for having a weekend that stinks? In the 11 o'clock hour, an NBA insider talks about a player and what it might take to get him that Detroit fans covet. You'll hear that today at 11:20 on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Champ and Chump brought to you by Sarah Chevrolet, Sterling Heights. So get your Champ and Chump votes in, 248-539-9797. Last week was some of the most lopsided Champ and Chump voting we ever had because it was coming off McGonagall's game-winning single.
Right.
And it was the Seattle series, and everybody hated Josh Naylor. It was a blowout, McGonagall for Champ and Naylor for Chump.
To me, I understand USA, so, but
USA soccer votes coming in.
To me, it's Brunson. I mean, what he was able to do, 45 points in that game was incredible. Considering their team didn't score that many points. They had basically nothing off the bench till 2 minutes left in the game or something. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Towns did nothing, and he's for somebody in that position, point guard, a short guy who, he's listed at 6'1". There's no way he's even 6'1". Look, obviously Isaiah was a better player, but you know it's reminiscent of a small guy like Isaiah wearing number 11 to lead a team to a championship. And Brunson's done it, unfortunately, for Michigan fans. He did it at Villanova, too, doing the same thing. He's been amazing.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Brandon in Shelby Township. You're next. Hello, Brandon.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good.
So my champ is the UFC Freedom 250. It was a great event, and they said it was the first UFC event that every match ended in a knockout. And the guy that won the championship at the end, he was a 6-1 underdog, and I think he's like 37, and he won the belt. And my chump is Tiger's offense. I mean, they had that streak where they're hitting like 7, 8, 9 runs a game. But then when it really mattered against the Guardians, we couldn't put up any runs.
Yeah, we kind of knew at some point they were kind of scoring runs at an unsustainable pace, and they would come back to earth at some point. And then they go to Cleveland. They score 3 runs in the 2 games. Yesterday, a chance to salvage a game in a series, and it gets rained out. And that's scheduled to September. At which time, who knows who the Tigers are going to have? That you know, so it's rather unfortunate. I'm such a trying to be realistic about what we can expect from them. I did not expect them to keep winning at the pace that they were winning.
No,
at some point they were going to suffer something like a back-to-back loss, which isn't an unforgivable sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this for a while: the way you realistically climb out of a whole 16 games under 500 is you win 4 or 5 in a row, then you play 500 ball for a week, then you win 4 or 5 more in a row, and you play 500 ball for a week. You don't just go win 16 in a row. But now they got to respond. Like, if they got to keep digging and digging and digging, and we'll see if they're capable of doing it.
They you know, reverted back to May offense. I mean, I'm trying to runners in scoring position. They were 1 for 15 for those 2 games.
It was brutal. I mean, you know, runners on second and third, one out, don't score. Leadoff triple, don't score. I mean, there was just too many instances of blown opportunities, and it sucked because it would have been fun to keep it going and keep all the momentum going, but it just wasn't meant to be for them this weekend. Sam is next on 97.1. Hello, Sam.
Hey, good morning. So Champ and Chump, and then I wanted to comment on something Stoney said. Champ, Carolina, you know, they deserved it. I hope they have fun celebrating. Chump, I was going to say Tigers, but I'm going to narrow it down to Jamai Jones. He's got to get off this team.
Yep.
And then my comment, one of the callers, Sony, said it's stupid to destroy your city, and I agree. But just imagine when the Lions win their Super Bowl, this city is going to look so different.
I'm glad you said. I'm glad you said when, not if. That's very good.
Yeah.
The one
when they win their Super Bowl.
The one advantage that the Lions would have is as far as fans and not going crazy because of when it is. I mean, chances are it's going to be 10 degrees outside and people won't be as nuts, I don't think, outside. They'll be nuts inside.
I hope not. Yeah. I don't understand destroying property as part of... I guess I never did. Even... some people say, "Oh, you're just an old guy." When I was younger, it didn't appeal to me.
So, if you were a bad example, because so if for some reason you were, what years were you in Michigan State? But you were never in Michigan State. Okay, suppose you went down to Ann Arbor in '89.
Yeah, I was in Ann Arbor in '89.
Okay, yeah, I guess my wife graduated Michigan that year.
Yeah.
And they won the basketball championship.
And everybody poured out onto South U.
People went on poles and things like that.
Yeah, and there were people breaking stuff. And yeah. I just never got it.
I know.
I just...
Would you have been out?
I don't know. I mean, I was out and I didn't do it. When the Tigers in '84 won the World Series, I didn't do it.
We've gotten this text more than once, too, by the way, what the caller said. Imagine, you know, when the Lions win it or if the Lions win it.
Yep.
It still doesn't make it right just because we win it. And I would like to say the same thing. Like, don't destroy the city of Detroit if we ever win the Super Bowl, you know?
No, because it'll get magnified. Oh, it's Detroit
again. But
just
don't, like, you don't have to do that. I'd say that for any team that wins a championship. Don't destroy your own city. I know things are going to break it. You know, of course, it's not going to be pristine. I get that, but... to like light buses on fire or whatever. Like, come on, man.
I don't, it sounds like I'm trying not to be like a party pooper. No, but you're not. But what are we, why? I don't, never understood it.
Never understood it.
There's so many more ways that I would choose to have a good time to celebrate.
You go to the parade, you know what it is, great time.
You know what it is? Hold on. You know what it really is? It's people that really actually don't care about the team.
That's true, too.
That's what it is. It's, I'm going to use this as an excuse to do something that they probably care more about the violence and they get to break stuff than they really do about winning the championship.
Look, call me an idiot. I would have no, you know, they should all, and they'll have them here, too, whenever. You know, these watch parties all around New York, they showed the shots of different boroughs and things like that. If my team's going for a championship, I'm hopeful, and I'm not there. Hopefully I'm with my friends, my closest friends, family, maybe a little party at somebody's house, going crazy with the people that I, you know, love. Okay. I'm not outside with a bunch of strangers getting, pretending that it's New Year's Eve or whatever. I mean, come on. Does that look like fun?
Well, again, if you don't really care about the game.
Yes, that's what I mean.
I suspect there are people that we're preaching to the choir. The people that are listening to this station probably care when the Lions do win it, as the caller said. They're going to be so delirious with an unbelievable enjoyment and excitement. And look, after the Knicks won it, right? I mean, you know,
I get it.
So, but and it's the people not listening to this station that will just say, hey, here's my chance to blow crap up.
You can have a good time with strangers in the streets. I'm just saying, don't destroy property. Because when the Wings won it last, I remember I was in downtown Royal Oak. You know what I did? I told you this story, Doug, before on the air. I poured beer on my own head.
Yeah.
Okay? I didn't hurt anybody else but myself, because I was like, after that, I'm like, oh my God, I'm soaking in beer now. That was dumb, stupid, but whatever. but I didn't destroy. Royal Oak was fine after that, by the way, from what I remember. You know, we all went into the streets. We all celebrated together, you know, high five and hug and whatever. You can do that without lighting stuff on fire. And
dude,
like I said,
we had so much fun when the Wings won the cup. We got there was some guy, he poured beer on his head.
Yeah, a chair's going to get knocked over. That's cool. We'll pick it back up. You know, that stuff is going to happen, but you know, you don't need to destroy, like, throw things through windows and whatnot. So, yeah. I don't care what city.
And unfortunately, it happens everywhere.
Of course, yep.
It does.
The Knicks aren't the only ones.
No.
From an unnamed texter, Champ World Cup Chump Scooble Comeback. So, 4 2/3, 5 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts.
Came out of it healthy.
Yeah, but he gave up a 2-run homer on an 0-2 pitch.
And he talked about it. He just, I didn't put it where I wanted it to put, you know.
No, but probably the most important thing is it was a tradable outing.
Yes.
It made him more tradable after the outing than before the outing.
You are correct.
Two reasons. One is health. He's, you know, there's no complaints about any setbacks physically at this point. And two is they lost the game, which gets him closer to being sellers. Champ, Troy, Chump, Hinch. It's from Chris.
Troy baseball, Troy University baseball, who beat North Carolina.
I wonder if he meant Troy. Did Troy High School win anything this weekend? Because girls' soccer and the boys' baseball was all.
Oh, I have no
idea. I think he probably means a Troy baseball team. They eliminated
North Carolina.
No, they eliminated Ole Miss.
Oh, is that who
it was?
Ole Miss.
Sorry.
Or maybe it was just all guys named Troy who was champion.
Could be, yeah.
At least Troy Weaver wins something.
Champ of the weekend, Lewis Hamilton, for winning the Barcelona Grand Prix by 20 seconds over his closest rival. Chump of the weekend of the San Antonio Spurs for choking away so many leads in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, it's right there. Hey, where do you stand on the Wembanyama thing? And the rest of his team, except for maybe one other guy.
Just walking off?
Walking off. I mean, we're in a. Normally, I wouldn't care, but like LeBron walked off years ago. People went crazy. I think it's bad. I think it's a bad look. It's not hockey, but it's still a bad look.
We'll get to it coming up here. Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.